The Book of Daniel, Number 37. Restoring the Original Truths, Unveiling William Miller's Dream and the Prophetic Resurgence in the Last Days.
William Miller's dream was placed within the book Early Writings, and therefore subject to the same prophetic analysis and application that is required to be accomplished by a student who seeks to rightly divide the word of truth. The dream has been presented many times through the years by Future for America. But here we are putting it into the study of the increase of knowledge that was opened up at the time of the end in 1798. The dream addresses the history of the message that represented the knowledge that was increased. It illustrates a link between the movements of the first and third angels' messages. William Miller's dream identifies his work, and his work was typified by the work of Moses at the beginning of ancient Israel. The fulfillment of Miller's dream in the last days was typified by the work of Christ in the last days of ancient Israel. The work that Christ accomplished at the end of ancient Israel represented the work Christ accomplishes in the last days of spiritual Israel. In Miller's dream, the work accomplished in the last days is represented as being performed by the dirt brush man. It is essential to recognize Miller's dream as a prediction of the fulfillment of the midnight cry in the last days. It is also essential to recognize that the work of Christ for ancient Israel in their last days typified the work of the dirt brush man in Miller's dream. One element of the work of Christ that is important to note is that he not only unsealed the buried truths from the time of Moses, but Christ simultaneously magnified those original truths. In doing so, he set an example that when God's people fulfill Miller's dream in the last days, the truths established through the work of Miller will be expanded beyond their original understanding.
In the time of the Savior, the Jews had so covered over the precious jewels of truth with the rubbish of tradition and fable that it was impossible to distinguish the true from the false. The Savior came to clear away the rubbish of superstition and long-cherished errors, and to set the jewels of God's Word in the framework of truth. What would the Savior do if he should come to us now as he did to the Jews? He would have to do a similar work in clearing away the rubbish of tradition and ceremony. The Jews were greatly disturbed when he did this work. They had lost sight of the original truth of God, but Christ brought it again to view. It is our work to free the precious truths of God from superstition and error. What a work is committed to us in the Gospel! Review and Herald, June 4, 1889.
Today the dirt brush man, Christ, is accomplishing a similar work in clearing away the rubbish of tradition and ceremony as did the lion of the tribe of Judah, Christ, accomplish in the time of the Jews. In Miller's dream, the precious jewels of truth that were perfectly arranged in the casket of God's Word became covered with rubbish and counterfeit jewels. Those jewels were to be brought out from the rubbish and placed back into the larger casket of God's Word during the period of the midnight cry of the last days. For it was when Miller looked upon the restored jewels in the larger casket that he shouted with very joy, and that shout awoke him. Miller's dream occurred in 1847, 3 years after the midnight cry of the first angel. So his awakening in the dream is the midnight cry of the last days. That midnight cry is proclaimed by the two witnesses who had been slain by the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit and were dead in the street for 3.5 days, until they were formed together and then brought to life in the valley of dead dry bones, and then lifted up as an ensign. Miller's dream is fulfilled on that street and in the same valley that he identifies as his room. In the history of the Millerites, Miller was used by the Lord to establish the original truths of Adventism, but his dream identified that over time those truths would be buried. This phenomenon of clearing away the rubbish of tradition and custom is what Christ accomplished at the end of ancient Israel, and in so doing he typified the final fulfillment of William Miller's dream. The Jews had lost sight of the original truth of God, but Christ brought it again to view and identified his work as our work. Our work is to free the precious truths of God from superstition and error. William Miller's dream identifies the discovery, presentation, and rejection, and restoration of the original truths. In order to accomplish the work of restoration, Christ placed the truth into the framework of truth. The framework of truth for William Miller was his understanding of the two desolating powers of paganism and papalism. In the last days, the framework of truth is the three desolating powers of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet.
When Christ came into the world to exemplify true religion and to exalt the principles that should govern the hearts and actions of men, falsehood had taken so deep a hold upon those who had had so great light that they no longer comprehended the light and had no inclination to yield up tradition for truth. They rejected the heavenly teacher. They crucified the Lord of glory, that they might retain their own customs and inventions. The very same spirit is manifested in the world today. Men are averse to investigating truth, lest their traditions should be disturbed, and a new order of things should be brought in. There is with humanity a constant liability to error, and men are naturally inclined to highly exalt human ideas and knowledge, while the divine and eternal is not discerned or appreciated. Councils on Sabbath School Work, 47.
If Christ came into the world today, he would find the very same spirit of exaltation of human ideas and knowledge that placed tradition in place of truth. In Miller's dream, in the last days, Christ comes as the dirt brush man to accomplish that identical work. When his work as the dirt brush man is accomplished, the original jewels will shine 10 times brighter than the sun, as the two witnesses, represented by Miller, awake at the shout of the loud cry. The framework of truth given to Miller was the prophetic structure of two desolating powers, and the framework of truth given to Future for America is the prophetic structure of three desolating powers. The key that was attached to the casket was the particular methodology that was unsealed and given to Miller, and thereafter to Future for America.
The key of knowledge in Christ's day had been taken away by those who should have held it to unlock the treasure house of wisdom in the Old Testament scriptures. The rabbis and teachers had virtually shut up the kingdom of heaven from the poor and the afflicted, and left them to perish. In his discourses, Christ did not bring many things before them at once, lest he might confuse their minds. He made every point clear and distinct. He did not disdain the repetition of old and familiar truths and prophecies if they would serve his purpose to inculcate ideas. Christ was the originator of all the ancient gems of truth. Through the work of the enemy, these truths had been displaced. They had been disconnected from their true position and placed in the framework of error. Christ's work was to readjust and establish the precious gems in the framework of truth. The principles of truth which had been given by himself to bless the world had, through Satan's agency, been buried and had apparently become extinct. Christ rescued them from the rubbish of error, gave them a new, vital force, and commanded them to shine as precious jewels and stand fast forever. Christ himself could use any of these old truths without borrowing the smallest particle, for he had originated them all. He had cast them into the minds and thoughts of each generation, and when he came to our world, he rearranged and vitalized the truths which had become dead, making them more forcible for the benefit of future generations. It was Jesus Christ who had the power of rescuing the truths from the rubbish, and again giving them to the world with more than their original freshness and power. Manuscript Releases, Volume 13, 240, 241.
It is interesting to note in the last passage that the key that Christ employed at the end of ancient Israel was to open the Old Testament. The key of Miller's methodology opened the casket of the Old and New Testaments, but in the last days, at the conclusion of his dream, the casket is larger. The key of methodology in the last days opens not only the Old and New Testaments, but also the spirit of prophecy. The unsealing of the revelation of Jesus Christ just before the close of probation is accomplished by the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, who in Miller's dream is represented as the Dirt Brush Man. Sister White identifies that the work of the Dirt Brush Man occurs just before the close of probation.
The Lord gave me a view, January 26, which I will relate. I saw that some of the people of God were stupid and dormant, and were but half awake, and did not realize the time we were now living in, and that the man with the dirt brush had entered, and that some were in danger of being swept away. I begged of Jesus to save them, to spare them a little longer, and let them see their awful danger, that they might get ready before it should be forever too late. The angel said, "Destruction is coming like a mighty whirlwind. I begged of the angel to pity and to save those who loved this world, and were attached to their possessions, and were not willing to cut loose from them, and sacrifice them to speed the messengers on their way to feed the hungry sheep, who were perishing for want of spiritual food. As I viewed poor souls dying for want of the present truth, and some who professed to believe the truth were letting them die, by withholding the necessary means to carry forward the work of God, the sight was too painful, and I begged of the angel to remove it from me. I saw that when the cause of God called for some of their property, like the young man who came to Jesus, Matthew 19 verses 16 to 22, they went away sorrowful, and that soon the overflowing scourge would pass over and sweep their possessions all away, and then it would be too late to sacrifice earthly goods, and lay up a treasure in heaven." Review and Herald, April 1, 1850.
The overflowing scourge is a symbol of the soon coming Sunday law, and the work of the dirt brush man in Miller's dream takes place just before probation closes. It is when he has cleaned the room that he then casts the jewels back into the larger casket, and they then shine 10 times brighter than the sun. Daniel and the three worthies were found 10 times better than the others.
Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Daniel 1 verses 18 to 20.
The end of the days for Daniel represented the litmus test where Nebuchadnezzar passed judgment, and that test typifies the Sunday law in the last days. The original and foundational truths will shine 10 times brighter when restored in the last days than when they were first recognized. The truths and the wise who understand those truths in the last days will shine 10 times brighter during the latter rain, which is the repetition of the midnight cry.
You are getting the coming of the Lord too far off. I saw the latter rain was coming as suddenly as the midnight cry, and with 10 times the power. Spalding and Megan, 5.
The restoration of the original truths is accomplished by the application of the latter rain methodology of line upon line. Once restored, the original truths shine 10 times brighter than they did when Miller first looked upon them. The wise who employ the key of methodology to restore the original truths obtain an experience that is 10 times better than those who eat the methodology of Babylon. Those that are swept away by the dirt brush man are those who have become attached to the traditions and customs that have covered up the original truth, and who are purged out with the errors of tradition and customs they have become attached to. A false doctrine is an idol.
In rejecting the truth, men reject its author. In trampling upon the law of God, they deny the authority of the lawgiver. It is as easy to make an idol of false doctrines and theories as to fashion an idol of wood or stone. The Great Controversy, 584.
The pronouncement upon Ephraim that marked the close of probation for Ephraim emphasizes the truth of what the dirt brush man accomplishes when he sweeps the floor.
Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Hosea 4 verse 17.
You are what you eat, as demonstrated by Daniel and the three worthies. Sister White's anxiety over those who were stupid and dormant was in relation to their lack of preparation and their lack of discernment over the importance of present truth. Her anxiety was an expression of Christ's concern for the quibbling Jews of his day and age, who had completely lost sight of the original truths. Miller's dream identifies the end of modern spiritual Israel, which has been typified by ancient literal Israel.
The scribes and Pharisees professed to explain the scriptures, but they explained them in accordance with their own ideas and traditions. Their customs and maxims became more and more exacting. In its spiritual sense, the sacred word became to the people as a sealed book, closed to their comprehension. Signs of the Times, May 17, 1905.
A progressive darkness has settled upon Laodicean Adventism since 1863, and the Bible and the spirit of prophecy has become to them as a book that is sealed. Just before probation closes, the revelation of Jesus Christ is unsealed, and it produces a three-step testing process that ends with those who refuse to relinquish their idols of custom and tradition being swept away at the soon-coming Sunday law.
We have an infinite Redeemer, and how precious are the gems of truth that testify to this in God's Word. But these precious jewels have been buried beneath a mass of rubbish, of tradition, of heresies, which Satan himself has originated. His schemes are working with a strange power upon human minds to eclipse the value of Christ to those who believe in him. The enemy of God and man has cast a spell over those who profess to be the followers of Christ, until of many it can be said, they know not the time of their visitation. Review and Herald, August 16, 1898.
Miller's dream illustrates the history of the establishment of the original truths, their subsequent rejection, and then their ultimate restoration. Just before the close of probation, the dirt brush man enters into the scenario and reestablishes the original truths and makes them 10 times brighter. This takes place during the history of the midnight cry, which precedes the loud cry of the third angel at the Sunday law. The midnight cry awakens and separates the virgins in advance of the Sunday law, as did the midnight cry precede the opening of the investigative judgment in Millerite history. When the jewels are cast back into the larger, restored casket, it is too late, for that event takes place after the floor has been swept clean.
The dust and rubbish of error have buried the precious jewels of truth, but the Lord's workers can uncover these treasures, so that thousands will look upon them with delight and awe. Angels of God will be beside the humble worker, giving grace and divine enlightenment, and thousands will be led to pray with David, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Truths that have been for ages unseen and unheeded will blaze forth from the illuminated pages of God's holy word. The churches generally that have heard, refused, and trampled upon the truth will do more wickedly, but the wise, those who are honest, will understand. The book is open, and the words of God reach the hearts of those who desire to know His will. At the loud cry of the angel from heaven who joins the third angel, thousands will awake from the stupor that has held the world for ages, and will see the beauty and value of the truth. Review and Herald, December 15, 1885.
The thousands that then awake represent God's other flock that are still in Babylon, for the loud cry begins at the Sunday law. The work of the dirt brush man has been underway since September 11, 2001, and even more so since July of 2023.
The apostle says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." The Bible is its own expositor. One passage will prove to be a key that will unlock other passages, and in this way light will be shed upon the hidden meaning of the word. By comparing different texts treating on the same subject, viewing their bearing on every side, the true meaning of the scriptures will be made evident. Many think that they must consult commentaries on the scriptures in order to understand the meaning of the word of God, and we would not take the position that commentaries should not be studied. But it will take much discernment to discover the truth of God under the mass of the words of men. How little has been done by the church, as a body professing to believe the Bible, to gather up the scattered jewels of God's word into one perfect chain of truth. The jewels of truth do not lie upon the surface, as many suppose. The mastermind in the confederacy of evil is ever at work to keep the truth out of sight, and to bring into full view the opinions of great men. The enemy is doing all in his power to obscure heaven's light through educational processes, for he does not mean that men shall hear the voice of the Lord, saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." The jewels of truth lie scattered over the field of revelation, but they have been buried beneath human traditions, beneath the sayings and commandments of men, and the wisdom from heaven has been practically ignored. For Satan has succeeded in making the world believe that the words and achievements of men are of great consequence. The Lord God, the Creator of the worlds, at infinite cost has given the gospel to the world. Through this divine agent, glad, refreshing springs of heavenly comfort and abiding consolation have been opened for those who will come to the fountain of life. There are veins of truth yet to be discovered, but spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Minds beclouded with evil cannot appreciate the value of the truth as it is in Jesus. Review and Herald, December 1, 1891.
The work of Christ as represented in Miller's dream as the dirt brush man is twofold. It is to remove the error and to restore the original truths. The removal of error is also twofold, for when the error is swept out the window, the error takes those who choose to remain attached to the errors with it. The work of separation accomplished by the dirt brush man is also addressed by Jeremiah, and his testimony agrees with Sister White when she stated that the Lord's workers can uncover these treasures so that thousands will look upon them with delight and awe.
Therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them.
Jeremiah 15 verse 19. The context of the passage in Jeremiah is addressing those who have experienced the first disappointment of July 18, 2020. It is not simply the dirt brush man that separates the precious from the vile, but it is also the work of those represented by Jeremiah, who are represented as making a decision of whether they will return to the Lord or not return. They have obviously not been with the Lord, for if they had been walking with him, there would be no reason for them to return. When they do return and stand before the Lord, and thereafter become his mouthpiece, they will have accomplished a work of separating the precious from the vile. The work of the dirt brush man requires the participation of the wise. The work of the dirt brush man in Miller's dream is also illustrated when Christ purges his floor through a refining process.
Just how soon this refining process will begin, I cannot say, but it will not be long deferred. He whose fan is in his hand will cleanse his temple of its moral defilement. He will thoroughly purge his floor. Testimonies to Ministers, 372-373.
The final refining process began in July of 2023, and it is the refining process of Malachi chapter 3.
Malachi 3 verses 1-4 quoted. A refining, purifying process is going on among the people of God, and the Lord of hosts has set his hand to this work. This process is most trying to the soul, but it is necessary in order that defilement may be removed. Trials are essential in order that we may be brought close to our Heavenly Father, in submission to his will, that we may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. God's work of refining and purifying the soul must go on until his servants are so humbled, so dead to self, that when called into active service, they may have an eye single to the glory of God. Review and Herald, April 10, 1894.
Miller's second dream identifies the restoration of the original truths and the simultaneous restoration of a people who have been scattered. Nebuchadnezzar's second dream identifies the restoration of his kingdom. Miller's dream addresses the burying up of the original truths in the terms of those truths being scattered. The word scattered is a symbol of the seven times. Nebuchadnezzar's dream is about the scattering of the seven times. Nebuchadnezzar is placed at the time of the end in 1798 and is there representing a converted man. Miller is the symbol of the wise in 1798. We will continue Miller's dream in the next article.
When we are called upon to differ with others, or others express their difference from our opinion, we should manifest a Christian spirit and keep this fact prominent that we can afford to be quiet and fair, for the truth will bear investigation. The more it is studied, the more will its light shine forth. The Lord frowns upon everything that savors of harshness and severity, and puts his rebuke upon those who cast contempt and reproach upon those who differ with them in opinion, placing them in the worst possible light. All heaven looks upon those who do this as heaven looked upon the Pharisees, and pronounces them as ignorant both of the Scriptures and the power of God. The enemies of truth cannot make truth error. They may trample upon the truth, and think that because they have cast it down, and covered it with rubbish, it is overcome, but God will move upon some of his faithful ones to do as Christ did when he was upon earth, brush away the rubbish, and restore the truth to its appropriate setting in the framework of truth. In companies where the truth is a matter of discussion, there will be those who will oppose everything that they have not held as truth, and while they flatter themselves that they are only battling with error, they have need to hear with unprejudiced ears, that they may understand what is truth, and not misrepresent and misinterpret that which is spoken. They have the example of the men in all ages who have fought against truth, and who in so doing, have rejected the counsel, sick, of God against themselves. Heavy will be the responsibility that will rest upon men who have had great light, and great opportunities, and who have yet failed to be wholly on the Lord's side. Should they venture to be wholly on the Lord's side, they would be preserved in integrity, even when they were called upon to stand alone. He would enable them to stand courageously, in purity and fairness, contending for uncorrupted principles of righteousness. He would sustain them in battling for the right because it is right, though justice were fallen in the street, and equity could not enter. They would understand what would be pure and undefiled, and in accordance with the life of Christ, and would not turn from the purest principles of Christianity in spirit, word, or action, even though they stood in opposition not only to ignorance, but to those who were cultivated and experienced, and who used the weapons of sophistry to silence them. Through all this strife of error against truth, they would be preserved, and enabled to keep such a course that their enemies could not gainsay or resist them. They would stand as a rock to principle, refusing to compromise with any man, and yet preserving the spirit that would characterize every Christian. He who is a follower of Christ will distinguish between the sacred and the common, and will cling to the true evidence of a man's character and work, for Christ has said, "By their fruits ye shall know them." The Christian will move forward amid all manner of opposition. He will despise flattery because it is born of Satan. He will detest accusation because it is the weapon of the evil one. They will not cherish envy or indulge in self-exaltation because these are the characteristics of the adversary of God and man. They will not be found as spies, for Satan used the despised Jews in doing this work against Jesus. They will not follow their brethren with a flood of questions as the Jews followed Christ for the purpose of entangling him in his words, and provoking him to speak of many things in order that they might make him an offender for a word. Home Missionary, September 1, 1894.